Hey there, welcome to episode 330 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm Dave Elliott. I'm still embarrassed to be doing this podcast, but I keep doing it anyway. Today, Fantastic Four 330 from September 1989. Good Dreams, written by John Harkness, an embarrassed Steve Englehart who doesn't want to put his name on this shit but still wants that paycheck, and artist Rick Buckler. And if Rich Buckler is too embarrassed to put his name on this comic, he's going to have to try better than that to come up with a pseudonym. He's not fooling anybody. So the issue starts in Canada with Aaron the Evil Watcher. And what is Aaron the Watcher doing? What do you think he's doing? He's watching! Duh. He's like Big Brother, and the whole world is like his live feeds. He's got that clone version of the Fantastic Five he's created, and he's watching them do battle with Psycho Man. He says to himself, "When it comes to the Fantastic Four, I love to watch." Just wait till they start making FF movies. He'll be whistling a different tune. So as Aaron stands there with Dragon Man at his side, he goes on about how he created these clones of the FF so he can have his own adventures with an FF he can control. And he's got the real Fantastic Four and Frightful Four locked up in these glass tubes in suspended animation. He says that eventually, maybe, he'll pit his clone FF against the real FF and watch the real FF die. And he makes a point of saying that he hopes that the Invisible Girl, I guess he hasn't read up to issue 284 yet, he says he hopes that the Invisible Girl is the first to die, saying things like, "I'm a nursemaid," and, "Oh, read my darling," and he calls her useless. So we zoom in on the real Sue Richards, Invisible Woman, in her glass tube, and we see what Sue's dreaming about, and a caption insinuates that the dream may or may not have happened in reality. It didn't happen. And she's dreaming about farmers in Latveria. Don't we all? And the farmers are bitching and complaining about the leadership of their country, wishing that the real Dr. Doom was back. And just then, Christoph the Child Dr. Doom imposter shows up and asks the farmers what they were talking about. And they lie and say they were talking about some pesky blackbirds. And Christoph makes a veiled threat about destroying blackbirds, and the farmers bow to Christoph. So Christoph heads off with his robot guards, who wanted to kill the farmer for complaining. But Christoph says that he learned that the Dr. Doom imposter, actually the real Dr. Doom, will be attacking at noon, and the farmers and the blackbirds will most likely be dead after that anyway. Next, we see the real Dr. Doom, and he's assembled quite a team of rebels to help him in his cause to retake Latveria. He's got Master Pandemonium, Atuma from Atlantis, Hobgoblin, Dormammu, the Doctor Strange villain, from like another dimension. He's got Beetle, Absorbing Man, Kang, and the Gray Hulk. Now, another interesting thing about this page, there was some kind of mistake at the printer, and the coloring is all screwed up. Dr. Doom is wearing purple, while the Hulk is wearing green pants. And poor Kang has a green head and green cape. It's quite jarring. But hey, it's Sue's dream. They can color anyhow, any way they want to. But on the next page, the colors are back to normal. Kang and Master Pandemonium express that they originally had doubts that this is the real Dr. Doom, but they're kind of convinced now. Beetle says that the only thing he cares about is the money. He's getting paid. But then Dr. Doom says he knows that Beetle is also being paid by Christoph, and he's the one who told Christoph about Dr. Doom's plans to attack at noon. So Doom orders the Hulk to kill the Beetle, and Hulk says, "Sure, I love to squash bugs." And he rams Beetle's head into the ground, killing him. I think Steve Englehart wanted to tell this story for real, but the editor said, "No, you can't do that, Steve Englehart." But he did it anyway and called it a dream. If that's the case, good call, editors. So Doom says the Hulk makes a good ally, and Hulk replies that he's just paying off a debt, that's all. And then Doom says it's time to move on down the mountain. So they arrive at the edge of town and come face to face with a bunch of those purple Doom robots. which Doom's menagerie of hired villains and the Hulk easily defeat. Back in the castle, Kristoff is watching events unfold, and he says he has a plan, and he pushes a button. Suddenly, a fury of lightning bolts shoot out of the castle and zap the shit out of Doom and his crew, killing the Hobgoblin. Doom gets back on his feet and raises his hand in the air and redirects all those lightning bolts right back at the castle. And then Doom and his guys bust through a wall, and somehow Kristoff knew exactly which wall Doom would break into because he's assembled his own team of hired villains: Sandman, Rhino, Electro, Abomination, Mysterio, Rhino, and Annihilus. Yes, Kristoff called up Annihilus in the negative zone and said, "Hey, why don't you come on by to help out?" What a stupid, stupid dream. What a stupid, stupid issue. So first, Rhino rushes toward the Hulk. And if you're the Hulk, how do you stop a Rhino from charging? You punch him in the face. And on the next page, more coloring errors. Dr. Doom is back in purple and the Abomination is purple. And at the bottom of the page, Johnny and Sue have pink hair. It's the punk rock Storm clones. So Dr. Doom zaps Electro with some kind of energy beam. The rest of Kristoff's crew think that Dr. Doom is just a robot imposter. But after hearing this, Dr. Doom decides that he's got to destroy Kristoff or be destroyed himself. My guess is that he prefers the former, not the latter. Next, we see that this fight has not gone unnoticed by the spy satellites of the Soviets and the Americans. And back at FF Plaza, an army general pops up on the screen and tells the clone FF that Armageddon is breaking out in the Balkans, just like the First World War. You know, many people don't know this, but Archduke Franz Ferdinand was a supervillain who went by the name of the Duke of Destruction. So the situations are kind of the same. So, of course, the Fantastic Four are very concerned about something else. They don't care about Dr. Doom and what's going on in the Balkans. The original Fantastic Four didn't fight him into their fifth issue. And this is the second issue of the clone Fantastic Four, and they want to find some Skrulls. They ought to just go beat up on Johnny's wife. So they turn off the communicator without even saying goodbye to the general, and Johnny asks if Reed has found some Skrulls to fight. And Reed says that he used his personal computer, the Torino XL, to find out that the Skrulls are in space fighting a war with the Kree. Once again, it's that damn Torino XL. If I could ask one question to Steve Englehart, it would be, what is the deal with the Torino XL? It reminds me of those Superman Radio Shack giveaway comics from the 1980, when he uses the TRS-80 computer to fight crime. But the Torino XL isn't even a real computer. It's product placement for a product that doesn't exist. So the scene ends with the Thing saying that he's not built for talking. He's built for action. Back in Latveria, the action in Doom's castle continues, and a confrontation between Annihilus and Dr. Doom ends with Annihilus getting zapped in the face and killed. And Doom says that next, he's coming for Kristoff. But Kristoff has come for Dr. Doom. He's standing on the floor above everyone, and he's had some large chunks of concrete dropped on Dr. Doom. But Doom gets up and calls him an ungrateful child, and he's surrounded by robot guards. And one of them says, "Surrender, Dorothy." Yes, the Doombot says, "Surrender, Dorothy." This story just keeps getting dumber and dumber. Dr. Doom fights back. He trounces the three robots easily, as you would expect him to do. And next, Dr. Doom finds himself face-to-face with Kristoff. Doom runs at him and grabs the kid's face, but Kristoff turns on his armor and zaps the shit out of Dr. Doom with electricity. Kristoff goes on to say he's the real Dr. Doom, son of Werner and Magna von Doom. The real Dr. Doom doesn't take this statement very well, saying that he's the only real son of Magda von Doom, and he attacks Kristoff. He throws some punches and pins him to the floor. Hulk enters the room and sees that Dr. Doom has his hands full, and he decides he's going to level the castle, and he starts tearing the walls down. Kristoff and Doom are united in their disgust with the Hulk, yelling at him to stop. So they briefly join forces, zap the Hulk with energy beams, knocking him out. With the Hulk unconscious, Kristoff and Doom go right back to fighting each other, while outside, the two armies of supervillains continue to go at each other, and Doom's group of mostly A-listers seems to be getting the best of Christoph's group of mostly B-listers. Back inside, Dr. Doom and Christoph are back to wearing purple. It's not a coloring mistake. It's Sue's dream. And you know how crazy dreams can be. The two are still fighting when Christoph looks out the hole in the wall and he sees that Doom's men have beaten Christoph's men. Now, fearing for his life, Christoph turns and he runs like hell. He enters this room, his panic room, I guess, but Doom can't follow after him. Doom runs over to Dormammu and says he needs his magic powers. Inside his room, Christoph pushes a button and the entire castle blows up. Dormammu creates a force field to protect Dr. Doom and most of his group from the giant blast created by what Doom says was a neutron bomb. Christoph just totally decimated the entire country of Latveria. Doom says they have to break into Christoph's bunker and kill him for what he's done. Back at FF headquarters, the army general calls again, demanding that the FF come help. But the robot secretary answers, and she says she's sorry, but the FF are busy. And we see that other superpowered beings are on their way to investigate the blast. There's the Soviet super soldiers, the Submariner, Thor, and the Mole Man. Such a random group. Thor lands and demands that Dr. Doom tell him what happened. Doom says he's going to take care of this. The Soviet super soldiers and Submariner have arrived, and they're concerned that if Christoph has an arsenal of neutron bombs, it could affect the entire planet. Doom says that Christoph isn't the only one who can detonate those bombs. He can detonate them too. I created those bombs, he says, so the rest of the world can blow up. There's another explosion, and everyone standing near Doom goes flying into the air. This attracts more interest. The Eternals, the Deviants, and the armed forces of NATO. Back in his panic room, Christoph figures there's no way for him to escape now, so he's just gonna kill everyone. Dr. Doom, and the entire world. He pushes a button, and neutron bombs start blowing up all over the planet. Moscow, Washington, D.C., Beijing, Tokyo, Rio, Pretoria. And the Earth teeters on its axis and spins around. And over on the moon, Uatu the Watcher is standing there watching as the entire Earth explodes. I think Steve Englehart accidentally thought he was writing an issue of What If. So anyway, the issue ends back in Aaron the Watcher's lair, and we're reminded that this is only Sue's dream. The world didn't really explode. And that's it. That's the issue. You know, previously, I've always thought of issue 3, the FF vs. Miracle Man, as the worst issue. Or at least, my least favorite issue. But this takes the cake. A story about a clone version of the Fantastic Four in an imaginary story that's just a dream filled with coloring mistakes written by a writer that doesn't want his name on the book out of embarrassment. It's appropriate that the Abomination is in this issue because the entire issue is an abomination. And next issue, it doesn't get much better. It's a clone FF. It's their third adventure. So you know what that means. Miracle Man, he's back for a brief appearance as the two shittiest storylines in FF history collide in one epic moment of supreme shittiness. Plus, as the very cover of issue 331 announces, it's a dream, it's a hoax, it's an imaginary story, and it's also Ultron. And if you think Steve Englehart is going to start putting his name on these issues again, you'd be wrong. So that's it for now. You can find my favorite panels from each issue of the Fantastic Four and other stuff on my blog at www.podcastff.blogspot.com. You can download other episodes at iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. My other podcast, Comic Book Doggerel, D-O-G-G-E-R-E-L, can be found at iTunes or search for it at podomatic.com. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need, I don't know, relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over.